Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I am Christina, one of your hosts, and I'm joined by one of my book besties, Kim, tonight. Hello,
hello.
Kim.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, book besties.
You are in for a treat. We are here with a KU Book Rex episode.
Yeah, we are.
We have just gone on our little summer hiatus. We have been reading, we have been relaxing with our fam, and we have lots of books to talk about for you, with you. All of the above. As a reminder, our KU Book Rex episodes are spoiler free. We're going to be doing a somewhat of an elevator pitch of these books, but yes, they will be all on KU and all spoiler free. So feel free to listen all the way through, even if you have not read these.
Yeah.
And buckle up because we've got so many good ones.
Literally so many. When there's three of us, we usually try to just bring like two, maybe three. I have five. and one of them is a four book series.
Shut up.
I'm not going to talk about it.
God, I love this and I love
you. But I just was so excited. There were so many books that I wanted to read in the summer because, you know, when the summer vibes hit, there's just certain books that you just really want to read.
They hit. Those vibes hit. Yes. We are so pumped. Also, we do usually text each other as we're reading just anything in our lives. And this is a really fun scenario where Kim and I have purposefully not texted each other about these books. We have no idea what the other one's going to talk about. So it's really, really fun. We are missing Anna. She is in Scotland living her best Highlander princess life.
Yeah.
We do miss her and she will be back with our next episode.
Yeah.
But here we go. Let's do this. Kim.
Okay. So friends, besties, listeners, I realize that we never ever talk about actually what is on our Patreon. We do Patreon shout outs in every single episode, which is a tier two exclusive benefit, but we actually don't talk about the things that we offer on our Patreon ever on our main feed episodes. I promise we won't do this every single time, but I thought for people that are maybe new here or you're not a part of our Patreon or you're kind of curious, like, well, what do they do over there that's different than on their main feed episodes? So I'm gonna do a very quick rundown of kind of what we offer. If any of this interests you, please feel free to join us over there. We would love to have you. And it made me think of it because a couple of these books that I'm going to be talking about tonight, Anna and I actually have done book chats on for our Patreon. So on tier one, you get our episodes a day early and ad free. And then we do a ton of book chats. And those are books that we don't do main feed episodes on. We stick to fantasy for our main feed. But over on Patreon, we do a ton of romance, all different genres of romance. And we love to hop on and do really fun, casual, silly, giggly book chats on all of those romances. So that is a benefit. We also, like today, we uploaded a 22-minute Onyx Storm cover breakdown video where Christine and I broke down the cover of Onyx Storm because it just got released today when we're recording this, which was so fun and amazing.
We're unhinged and it's fabulous. Yeah.
And we love every second of it.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, like extra kind of just bookish, like reactions to like new titles, new covers, any like snippets of things that get dropped. And then on our tier two, we do what are called chapter chats. So for pretty much every big new fantasy romance release that we're going to be reading, we do what are called chapter chats where we all read like 10 to 15 chapters and then we hop on and really like deep dive, break them down, give our thoughts. We did it for Iron Flame, mm-hmm. Crescent City 3,
Kindred's Curse.
Christina and Anna are doing When the Moon Hatched chapter chats as well. They are so fun.
It's really extra fun, those, because we are in real time reading them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we bank them a little bit, like in July, Anna and I banked them a little bit because we're going to be traveling, but we're recording them as we go.
Yeah.
And so it's just really, really fun because then you get real-time reactions to us.
Yeah.
That then literally the next chapter chat, the next week, we're like, wow, were we wrong? We have been humbled. What is going on? Like, we just are so real-time loving the books, and it's so fun to also have the comments from everyone on the books
mm-hmm.
as we're going, specifically on those chapters at a time, and it's mm-hmm. just, it's a really, really fun way to get to, like, engage and talk to you guys about this stuff.
Yeah, it's so fun, because as you guys know, our main feed episodes are an overview of the book, typically. I think for Heat of the Everflame, we did read as we go, because it was 1,000 pages, and we felt that would be biting off a little more than we could chew to try and cover it in one or two episodes, so we did do that in three parts and did read as we go. But overall, we kind of just do like the overall book. And so it's so fun, like Christina said, to get to do this in real time with you guys. And you get to hear our like unhinged theories or like, oh my God, do you think it's this? this, and like it turns out to be right or completely wrong. We also do first, not all, but most of our episodes, we record the full video, and tier two gets the full unedited video episode of almost all of our episodes. Tier two gets those like over a week early before the episode comes out.
And it's full video and it's unedited. And there's a lot of times where we go on very silly tangents. We're like, haha, sorry, Patreon. And it's quite fun.
Yeah. But the thing we're most excited about that we are now offering on our Patreon is we just launched an SJM series, you guys. So we've covered every single book at this point that Sarah has written, minus Catwoman. So we feel like we don't want to just keep redoing episodes on SJM's books, but we miss the characters in the world so much. So we came up with a genius idea of doing like a recurring SJM series on our Patreon where we do deep dives on every single character. I mean, not every single character, like Azrael has said five words, so we can't do a deep dive on him.
I don't know. I think we could do it.
I mean, could we scream and melt and gush about Azrael for an hour? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But in terms of, you know, analysis.
I understand.
But we are doing deep dives. We are doing favorite moments from each of the books. We are doing like favorite couples and our favorite moments of their relationship.
We're doing trivia. We're doing overall character arcs. We're doing so many fun things for each of her series. And this is an ongoing series. So it's not just for summer or winter. It's just ongoing. It's going to be roughly two episodes a month. Mm-hmm. They're video. They are so much fun. And we really think hard about the schedule of those and what would be the most fun for you guys to watch of us talking about SJM wise.
Yeah, it's so fun. Like we did TOG favorite moments today, and we've already decided that we cannot wait to do like a Cal Tane character deep dive and talk about her arc and her journey. Because if you know her character is so interesting. So just fun stuff like that galore over there. And that is also exclusive for tier two. So that is just kind of a overall look at what we offer on Patreon. We have something for everybody. If you just want fantasy stuff, we've got it. If you want romance books, we've got it. It's all there.
It is all there. We've done movies, we've done TV, we've done Bridgerton, we've done The Idea of You. We are all over the place with everything we love over there, and we would love to have you.
Oh, I love that, Christina. So speaking of Patreon, as part of one of your tier two benefits, we get a shout out. We could shout you out on one of our episodes.
Woo!
And tonight we are going to be shouting out Kelly, Kate, Jason, Victoria, Samantha, and Yente. So deeply sorry if I mispronounced that. But thank you guys so, so much. We love you guys dearly.
Could not do this without you, truly. And from the bottom of our hearts, thank you.
Yeah, you guys are the best for supporting us. We feel so, so lucky to have so many amazing patrons that make it possible to do this, which is crazy that this is our job and we get paid to do this.
The dream. You allow us to live our dream, and we and our families and everyone appreciates it.
Yeah, truly. Okay, Christina.
Let's go. Let's freaking go.
Let's freaking go. Listeners, I have been keeping a secret from Christina, and it has been one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. Not really. That's very dramatic. But I read a book that she recommended to me.
Which one is it?
And it's like her favorite genre ever.
Which one is it? Oh my God, which one is it? Oh my God.
And I read Fragile Sanctuary by Catherine And I didn't breathe a word of it to her. And it was so hard because I wanted to talk about it so badly, but I was dying to get her reaction. Worth it.
I'm unwell. I'm so excited. This is one of the books I'm talking about tonight. And I randomly text like, oh, I think you'd like this one. And you, sneaky snake, were not even like, yeah, I'm reading it right now. Oh my God. What were your thoughts? What did you think?
Oh my God. Love.
Love!
Where has this been all my life?
I knew you were a romantic suspense girly. I knew it in my soul. I knew
it. I mean, you introduced us to sports romance, and now here you are again with the romantic suspense. And I'm like, Christina, thank you for this gift. Truly, this is everything I've wanted because I, listeners, love thrillers. But sometimes thrillers are really, really dark and scary and intense. And like, that's just not my vibe.
Oh my God, this makes me so happy.
But I love this because it's like danger and there are stakes. But like, you know that most likely the main character is like not going to get killed. You know what I mean?
No. Like, at the end of the day, it's formulaic in the best way. We're like,
right,
it's gonna work out. God, I am so excited about this. Oh my God.
It has all the tropes. You have small town romance. You have brother's best friend. You have grumpy sunshine, enemies to lovers, spicy, touch her and die vibes, and a murder mystery wrapped up in a bow.
All in one. all in one. Okay, yes. So this is Fragile Sanctuary by Catherine Coles. So this is number one in mm-hmm. that series, the Sparrow Falls series.
Yes.
And so number two comes out really soon, which is so exciting.
Oh my
okay.
God. Oh my God.
Kim, go. Tell us about it. Tell Y'all. Us the synopsis.
Okay.
Go.
Christina is the queen of romantic suspense. In our last KU Rex episode, she talked about a Catherine Coles, but actually I think you talked about a series of hers.
I did. I talked about five of them.
I did. That's putting it mildly. I talked about five, but yeah, go on. Okay, guys, I love this book. I will say I started it, totally forgot that it was like a murder mystery.
Yeah.
And like this cute girl's coming home from like a party and she just kissed a guy and she's like talking to her mom and having cocoa. And I was like, oh my God, this is so sweet. She like has a great relationship with her family.
No.
And then like, I mean, I'm not going to spoil anything, but you know, she's like having this conversation with her sister and her sister's like, I want to borrow that. And she's like, I'll just get it tomorrow. And I was like, oh no.
Don't you talk about tomorrow. Oh no. I was like that.
I don't think that's going to happen. And then a terrible fire breaks out and I was like, wait a minute. What's happening right now? What do you mean? And I was like, oh, wait.
See, now, this is what I meant when I said it's rom, no com. It's drama. Yes. It's romantic. There's suspense. Yep. It's not really light, but God, is it fun. It's so fun.
I was just laughing at myself. I was like, you know, Kim, that's what we're doing here. Like, that's what the book is. I was like, the family? Really? It's like, yeah, that's what this is.
We're going for it.
Okay. Follows Rhodes or Ro, which by the way, cutest name ever. I love the name Ro.
Cutest.
Love
cutest.
It.
Cutest. I did almost name our son Rowan because I love the nickname Ro, but then I was like, Rowan's too integral into our lives with Throne of Glass. I can't spend the rest of our life, as it is my job, talking about these books, being like, Rowan, yeah. But no, I love that name. And then Anson, what a amazing male lead.
Okay. So Ro is 27 years old. When she was 13, she suffered a terrible, terrible trauma that changed her forever. But now she's kind of ready to move on. She is having her family's beloved Victorian home kind of rebuilt, and her brother Shep's construction firm is handling the rebuild. And his right-hand man, who is like a fire restoration specialist, is Anson. And Anson is going to be working on the house.
Anson is the
grumpiest of grumps to begin with.
So grumpy.
So just closed off, doesn't want to get close to anybody. He's had a past and some secrets of his own. And so they, you know, at first they do not get along.
Mm-mm.
You know, Anson is not very kind, but we know he has a dark past. Okay, he has a dark past.
He's dark and twisty.
But like, obviously, as things move along, they start to bond and come together. But then there's danger.
Oh, things are happening to Bro. And it's like, what? This can't be an accident. What? Still more things? And Anson's like, I will keep you safe and I will do it sexily.
Safe, but make it sexy.
So protective and sexy. And throughout it, we're going to just become this amazing couple that we are and we are meant to be.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so thrilled beyond belief you read this book. So one of my most favorite parts of this book is him and his backstory, because usually the male leads' backstories in romantic suspense are, you know, maybe they have a little trauma, but they're not also an integral part of the suspense.
Yeah.
And he is actually an ex-profiler for the FBI. And that reveal is so fun because she's like, hold on. You're not just Mr. Grumpy Pants living in the woods? And he's like, no, I'm actually a genius. And
literally,
I was a profiler for the FBI and I got just so into this case with the serial killer, like finding him, that he then started to come after me. And so I'm now in hiding. And so there's pieces of his past and her past coming out at the same time. And that dynamic was so freaking interesting to read. And it just took the suspense to a different level, I think.
Oh, for sure.
Was so fun.
I mean, I loved, she adopts a dog. She has this really sweet found family.
These foster siblings are incredible.
The sweetest.
The one that's the hockey player. I was like, oh, give me his book.
Literally
ASAP.
All the reviews were like, give me his book now. Like now, give it to me now.
One of her foster brothers is this famous NHL player, and he shows up when things happen to her, and she's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I could not be here for you, like my sister. And she's like, okay, but actually you're missing millions. You're gonna be in trouble. You're getting paid all this money to pay NHL. And he's like doesn't matter.
I don't care. I'm gonna be with you.
Wow, is it good?
The way they show up for each other is just so sweet.
Another aspect I loved, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, is the brother's best friend, because I think they did this well. It seemed different than usual. Do you feel the same about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I really liked it a lot. I hate when they do that thing where they pretend to get in a big fight about it whenever the reveal comes out. And it's like, okay, you're being really weird about this.
Why would you not want your sister to be with someone who you find the caliber of a person to be your best friend? That would make sense.
Exactly. Exactly, Christina.
I love that his big holdup was really on both sides. That like, look, I know both of your traumas. So be careful with her and be careful with him. And like, you guys need to navigate this, you know? And
yes.
I think that was such an accurate portrayal of that situation.
Especially for adults. Like some of these books I read, I'm like, y'all are acting like 16-year-olds. These are grown ass adults. Let them figure it out for themselves. Like, of course you can have concerns and have hesitations, but overall, I think you would just be like, hey, just be careful because you both have really gone through some stuff. And
right. Has she told you about her past? Okay, then tread lightly. Has he? Be careful. Like, I don't know if he's gonna be able to be there for you in the way you need. I really like that dynamic, and I think that it ties into what you're saying about the found family.
Oh my god, the grandmother, Christina.
Oh my god, the grandmother. Obsessed.
Hysterical.
Obsessed.
Literally obsessed with her. I'm like, I need her in every single book, please.
She better be. She paints these paintings that are like
penis paintings.
Penis paintings. And she just says, like, where can I put it? Where would you like this?
Penis. Everyone's like, oh god.
And her daughter is like, oh my god, mother, please stop. And it's just so funny and sweet.
It's so funny.
And I absolutely loved it. The steam in this worked.
Oh.
Did it work?
Yeah, it did. Yeah,
it did. And I think that it was a different level. Oh god, this is so fun. Because I remember when I text you about this, I was like, the steam in this one feels different than the other ones. It's like hotter to me.
Oh yeah.
Than the other Catherine Coles. Not that their steam isn't as good in those, but there was a level of, in the other Catherine Coles books I've read, it's a lot more like, I'm making love and making sure you feel safe and beautiful. And that does exist here. There's also on top of that, it's not instead of, it's and. There is some hot stuff going on here.
Okay, so I had kind of tempered my expectations because I know that you had said that it's not, you know, your Chestnut Springs, your Becca Mack, your whatever. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, I personally am totally fine with that. Like, sometimes it's honestly nice to have a break. I like reading different genres. I'm good with the no spice or minimal spice.
Yes.
Well, well, was I pleasantly surprised?
What a setup I did for you, not knowing that I was doing it.
My expectations were down here, and Catherine Cole said, hold my beer. We're going to go up here. We're going to add spice into all of this. And I was like, Catherine, how are we doing this? And I loved the like murder mystery aspect of it. And you didn't know. And there were like red herrings and you thought it was this person. And I was like, oh, it's definitely this person. Like, it's definitely this person. And I was wrong.
I knew you would love that part. Because I was like, this is what Kim loves about thrillers is the dynamic of like, oh, it's this person. Is it? What are the clues? Like, how am I figuring this out?
Yes.
And I thought this was well done in this. So I'm glad you also thought it was.
For sure. Yes. It obviously is not just a thriller.
Right.
But I honestly liked it because again, sometimes thrillers can get really, really dark.
Exactly.
And that just takes me down to like a bad place that I don't want to be in. And this didn't do that while still being like suspenseful and dramatic, but I wasn't stressed out reading it. I was like, okay, everyone's going to be okay.
Exactly. Apologies, but spoiler alert for all Catherine Coles and generally all romantic suspense, everyone's fine at the end.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be okay. None of the books I will ever recommend in romantic suspense are going to be like, well, and then she got kidnapped and died. So that's it. That's never going to happen.
Never.
Yes, exactly. It's stressful and fun.
Yeah.
It seems fun because you're like, well, how is he going to get her? You get there. You get there, Anson. Where she needs
hurry
you.
Hurry up, Anson. Oh, it was just, it was so much fun. It was so much fun. I loved everything about it. If you like small town romances, but you also kind of like maybe a thriller aspect or like more like a murder mystery.
Yes.
Y'all, it's so good. So at the end of this book, there's an excerpt for book two, and I'm going to need it immediately. Like the setup for that book, wild. So it features a character in this first book.
Yes.
Like a side character. And I have never read a book with this setup before.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
How fun.
I cannot wait.
I cannot wait for their book.
Oh my god. This was so.
What a fun reveal for
me. This was so worth it.
Oh my god. I'm so excited. I am thrilled beyond belief. I'm so excited.
I knew you
would
be.
That you love these books.
I do.
I'm now like, well, now I need you to read this person's book in this series and this
book. Got it. Done.
Because she is, I would say the steam is a little more our usual, like maybe Chestnut's that level.
Yeah.
Of steam in this, but the romance and the drama and the suspense is very much constant throughout.
Carries through.
Mm-hmm. And I just think that this is a brand new Catherine Cole's journey for us.
It is!
I'm very excited.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Wow, what fun.
You guys should absolutely pick it up. Try it out. If you've never read it before, I never have either, and I absolutely loved it. It was just like the perfect, not too dark, but not fluffy and mindless. There's substance and there's things happening. Like Christina said, there's danger. Things are happening.
There's romance, but oh no! She's in danger. Something happened, but like, it's okay. He's gonna be there and protect her and hold her and be like all sweet and romantic.
Yeah.
And then like, okay, we're fine. We've gotten past it. It's all sweet. Oh no!
Something else happens.
Something else happened and he's gonna be there and sweet and romantic.
It's so great, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was worth not getting to text you about, because it was so hard not to text you.
Holy crap. Okay. So, Fragile Sanctuary by Catherine Coles.
Yes.
Wow.
We will definitely be reading book two, and I will text Christina this time about it, because I can't not.
Oh, you better. You absolutely better.
Okay, Christina, do you want to do a book?
My next book I am so excited to talk about is called Loving Romeo by Laura Pavlov.
Okay.
Okay, guys. So this is such a fun, amazing romance for summer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we are following Romeo, bad boy. He's from the wrong side of the tracks, quote, quote. He's a boxer who's now turned like gym owner,
mm-hmm.
with a rough past and a grudge against the town's wealthiest family. So when Demi, the gorgeous daughter of the family he despises, opens a coffee shop next door to his gym, he is anything but friendly. But as their paths keep crossing, Romeo sees that Demi isn't like her family and is unaware of their past wrongs. So, while training for his final huge Las Vegas boxing match, Romeo is surprised by Demi's unwavering support, making it hard to keep his distance. And as their connection deepens and gets spicy, old grudges and family secrets threaten to upend their love story.
Oh, wow.
Okay, guys. So, first of all, this is a boxing sports romance. He's a boxer. Didn't know I thought it was going to be hot, and I do. It's hot.
I do.
Turns out, I do. Okay, so he was a boxer, and then is like, oh, I'm going to be this gym owner. I'm, you know, going to kind of retire. And then through a sequence of events, he is now doing training and going to be a part of this huge boxing match in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets pulled into one of those matches. It's going to be his final match. So that's kind of the undercurrent of this whole story, where he's okay. training for that. Okay.
Okay.
And this also undercurrent that is kind of playing through this is Demi is this sweet girl. She went off to college and she is very naive, but fine. She came back from college and was like, I'm going to open a coffee shop and it's fine. And I might be a rich girl, but I'm just going to try to be a person of the people and live in this neighborhood and this apartment above my coffee shop and live this life and like not try to take things from my family and not try to use their name. And specific events caused by her family really led to Romeo and his best friend's rough past. They actually very much screwed them over when they were kids and led to them having to be in juvie for 6 months.
Wow.
Because like took the fall for some things.
Uh-oh.
But Demi knows nothing of this. And so that's a very interesting transition of Romeo kind of figuring out that she actually doesn't know anything and she's really sweet and lovely and wonderful. And you see him kind of take his guard down and these things and they just fall in love in this beautiful way. And he is just this bad boy boxer with the sweetest angel boy heart. And he's just so protective of her. Oh my God. So protective in the hottest way. And he's just like, did he touch you?
Love it.
And there is a little bit of danger. There's a little bit of suspense. I'm not going to tell you in what capacity, but it's good. And he has this group of friends that are this like found family of guys that are these bad boys that are like boxers and ride motorcycles, but they are so sweet and lovely. And they are also protective of her. They're like, you're one of us because you're his girl. And it doesn't matter who your family is and what they did to us. You're one of us because he loves you. And it's just this really amazing dynamic. Boxing was really fun. They have a forbidden romance. You know, people are not on her end, aren't supportive of it. It's very much like she's the rich girl, he's the bad boy from the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah.
Also, Romeo, Juliet kind of vibes with the Romeo, Loving Romeo. It's also a very small town. I read it in like 3 sittings. It's so much fun.
God.
There's like fun nicknames and silly things and like it gets steamy and fun and sexy. And it does take a little bit to get to that, but then it is prevalent. So I would highly recommend it. I hadn't really read a boxing romance before, and something about, I think, the boxing coupled with the I'm a bad boy, but also like the sweetest sweetie, and then coupling that with the protectiveness and everything just really, really worked for me.
Yeah.
There are little funny moments in this, but I would say also it's just generally kind of more romantic than like funny and silly, but just a really fun, cool, steamy, dramatic, romantic read. So that is Loving Romeo by Laura Pavlov.
Oh my God. I love that. That sounds amazing. You are like really delving into some different sports arenas over here.
I am.
Like you had like motocross and now you have boxing. Yes. Like who are you?
Truly. Who am I? Who am I?
I don't know. You know what you are? You're a trendsetter. That's what you are. You are trendsetting.
Running the gambit. All
you
the
are
sports.
Because everyone's doing like a football romance, which don't get me wrong, we love a hockey and football sports ball romance, like we love it, but I'm loving that you're venturing out here and trying some new stuff and loving it.
Branching out. Thanks, girl. Okay, hit us with it. What are you gonna do next?
Okay, oh my God, oh God. Okay, I have a tale to tell. So my next book is called When We Lied by Claire Contreras. Okay. I believe is how you say it. Of course, it'll be in the show notes. So this is a dark hockey romance with a suspense twist.
Oh, hell yes. Wait, I've seen this cover. Yes. Okay, got it.
It's like a blue, it's like a blue cover. Now, when I say it's a dark romance, the guy is straight up an asshole at first. Mm. I opened this book and I read the first page and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to DNF this because this guy is a asshole. Like the most arrogant, cocky, just like, ugh. I was like, okay, I hate this.
No.
But then I was like, well, let me just like read a couple pages and like, let me just
like,
see
what happens.
Literally the first 10%, I was like, I don't think so.
Really?
But then I couldn't put it down and I just kept reading it. And then eventually had to admit to myself that I wasn't going to DNF it and that I was going to read it.
That maybe I liked it.
I did like it. That I stayed up till 1:30 reading it.
Stop. Okay, wait. Tell me what it's about.
Okay, so When We Lied, like I said, dark hockey romance with a suspense twist. The story follows Finn, a notorious womanizer and pro hockey player, and Jocelyn, who is a basketball star and a popular influencer, which was kind of interesting.
That's interesting.
4 years ago, their paths crossed on one fateful night. They shared together on a strictly no strings basis. Fast forward to now, Finn is back in town and Jocelyn is forced to confront their chemistry and what has happened in their lives in the last 4 years. There's a thriller crime element following an event that occurs 4 years in the past, like on the night that they hooked up. Something terrible happened to Finn's sister after the events of the steamy hookup.
Okay.
And now Finn is back in town to figure out what happened to his sister because it got brushed under the rug. He comes from a very, very wealthy, influential family and his sister was the black sheep of the family. And so they kind of just brush it under the rug and were like, oh, she just died under mysterious circumstances. Oh. And Finn's like, no, I want to know. But he thinks that Jocelyn had something to do with it.
What?
Because she was seen on video camera footage going back into... Okay, so the book takes place. Finn co-owns a sex club and the sex club aspect comes into play. Like, they spend some time at the sex club.
Okay.
Not, like, necessarily doing stuff, but for some reason they keep meeting there and having conversations at the sex club.
We see the things happening. Yes, yes.
So, and we see the things happening, but, like, we're not. Anyways, so Finn's like, no, I know you had something to do with it. And she's like, I didn't. And he's like, no, you're gonna tell me. So it starts out, like, he's angry. He's pissed. And he's an asshole. But he can't stay away from her.
Oh.
So when I say it's dark, I mean, like, he is obsessive. He stalks her for a year. He hires a PI to stalk her to try and prove that she had something to do with his sister's death. He is very possessive, very dominant. That's why I say it's dark. I don't read a lot of dark romances, but it kind of reminds me of some of the things that, like, Anna talks about. So of course my inner mom was like, I hope no one's reading this being like, this is what love should look like, because it should not. Please don't read this and be like, how romantic that he's stalking me and stole my phone and turned my location on so that he could see where I was at all times. Swoon! No.
No swoon. Not goals. Just fun to read, maybe, as adults.
So fun to read. I couldn't put it down. I know no one is thinking that, but I just, like, the mom in me was like, oh God, please don't have some young girl reading this being like, that's so sweet. Because it's not. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, but is it fun to read as an adult?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, so the mystery is surrounding that night is, like, examined through the book, and it kind of goes through, like, flashback scenes. So you'll kind of get to see bits of what happened that night, and that kind of leads up to the big twist end of the reveal, which is wild.
Really?
I did not see it coming. It was a little more intense than maybe, like, Catherine Cole. Like, it was darker and more intense. Okay, so, like, Finn is obsessed with her.
Yeah.
And I, at first I wasn't sure, but then he becomes obsessed with her in the best way possible and is like, I live and breathe and die for you. I worship the ground you walk on. Like, I am so obsessed with you. I will do anything for you. Like, he leaves games and flies home in the middle of the night to come be with her.
Oh, yes.
And she's like, Finn, you're game. And he's like, fuck, I don't care if they fire me. Like, I need to be with you. And I'm like, oh my God, Finn's here.
Okay, well, I'm in.
Literally, I was like, okay, well, like, I know he did stalk her, but, like, you know, he was just, like, wanted to keep tabs on her for her safety. It's fine.
It was fine.
He falls so fast for her. Okay. And so it quickly turns from he thinks she has something to do with it to them kind of working together to find out what happened.
Oh, love that. That's a great transition. Then it's the murder mystery yes. still there, but they're together.
They're
yes.
together. Perfect. And then things culminate at the end. There's like a big dramatic scene and Finn is just so like, I'll take care of you. I've got you. Don't worry. Like, I'll keep you safe.
All I want in a book. This is my catnip, is those words.
Literally, he hates everybody but her,
but
like would live, breathe, and die for this woman, like, loves her so much.
God, do we love it.
The spice?
Tell me, how is it?
Was spicing.
Oh, it was that bison?
He has a filthy, filthy mouth. So filthy. The praise, the just everything. I mean, like, it is V spicy, you guys. Like,
okay.
V spicy.
We're spicing. Spice Girls.
It's Spice Girls level 10. So good. While I was reading it, I was like, this is so unhinged. This is so unhealthy and toxic. But, like, I was so into it. And I loved it. And I could not put it down. And I've never read anything like this before.
Yes.
I will say, there was almost no sports in this. Like, them calling it a hockey romance is, like...
Feels like cheating.
Yeah. Feels like they just needed to give him a job that like paid a lot of money and he had to leave for a while to go play hockey.
But also classifying as hockey romance is like, oh no, we're gonna capitalize on those girlies who are hockey romance girlies.
Exactly.
Who don't know they like dark romance and ho, you do.
And you do. And like, obviously we're never gonna be upset about sports not being in a book, but it just was like, okay, you're being a little generous with the term hockey romance. He just happens to play hockey, but it's barely brought up at all in the book. So good news for those of you who are like, I don't like sports romances. It doesn't matter because it's hardly in there at all.
Literally zero concern here.
Yeah. She's also a basketball player. You never see her play. I think she plays basketball like one time. Like literally, I think maybe one time.
Oh my God. That's hysterical because I was like, wow, what an interesting dynamic that she is also an athlete. Nope, doesn't matter.
Nope, doesn't matter. Literally. So this was just wild. It was so unhinged. If you have read like dark romances, if you've read any of the romances that Anna has talked about, I think you would love this. I think it is just putting together a lot of the different things that we love.
Yes.
And again, if you go into it just knowing that like this is insane and unhinged, you will love it.
I'm obsessed. I'm so excited.
I just... loved it. I thought it was, for what it was just so fun.
I'm going to pick it up next. This sounds exactly like what I
want. I'm so excited.
It's so fun. I'm so excited about this.
Yay! Okay, so that was When We Lied by Claire Contreras. Again, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it will be in the show notes. When We Lied, so freaking good. So good.
Amazing. Okay.
Okay,
guys. Wow, what a... honey journey this one was. Okay, so next I'm going to talk about Filthy Rich Vampire by Geneva Lee.
Already love it.
Wow, was this a ride. Okay, guys, so I'm going to read this to you first, and then I'll talk to you about it. All right.
Okay.
So, Julian Russo has a problem. He's single, and for the world's wealthiest vampires, the social season is about to begin. And Julian would rather stake himself than participate in the marriage market. But as the eldest eligible Russo, he's expected to find a wife before the season ends, whether he likes it or not.
Okay.
When cellist Thea literally stumbles into his life at a gala, he knows she's the last person he could ever fall in love with. She's too innocent, too kind, and way too human. But now that she knows about his world, she's also a walking target and she needs protection. And he needs a fake girlfriend to discourage overzealous vampire matchmaking. So Julian makes Thea an irresistible offer. Pretend to be his lover and he'll change her life. For 1 year, they'll attend the season's social events together in exchange for his protection and a way out of her mother's and hers crippling debt. She can't say no, but the vampire world is impossibly decadent and darker than Thea ever imagined. And Julian's filthy rich vampire family wants her out of the way. But with each moment they share, new dangers emerge, a desire is forbidden as their stolen touches, an awakening of a long dead heart, and secrets that could tear them both apart. Wow. Okay, wow. Guys. So I, first of all, want to say this is crazy rich Asians with vampires. Okay?
Oh my God, that's what's happening here.
So like we're at the balls. We're at the social seasons. We're flying to Paris. We're like in the beautiful houses. We're like, oh no, this personal stylist will give you the dress for the thing. This is this opulent world that it was existing that you didn't even know about. It's paranormal romance. It's current.
Okay, got it. Like it's current. Okay. Yes. But they're having balls?
Yeah. Kind of feels as if these vampires have been around for so long that they're like social season and the marriage market and all this stuff is just stuff that still exists from when they were still around. Like some of their traditions are still a little old school.
Got it.
Even though there's also some really not old school stuff. There's familiars, there's sexy times, there's bloodlust, there's little like vampire-y sex parties. There's like all these interesting things. Okay, so all that to be said, I want to say here that in my mind, there are two kinds of KU fantasies. There is one section that is like, wow, what a unique, amazing hidden gem that happens to be here on KU that is an indie author, perhaps, or like, you know, we're talking some Carissa Brahmut, some Danielle Jensen, some Penn Cole, some things that you're like, wow, this is that level of fantasy.
Got it.
That I'm like, wow, it's on KU. I'm so excited to, you know, delve into this. And this is such a hidden gem. And then there are KU fantasies that are the equivalent of our mindless romances, but just like with a fantasy aspect. I am thinking too in-depthly about the world building. I am not asking too many questions. I am skimming. I am really just here for a good time, not a long time.
Absolutely.
But it feels like the same way I would buy the pool, skim a romance that like, but it's just fantasy.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's this.
Okay.
There were absolutely things in this that I was like, okay, what? There were absolutely things in this that I was like giggling at, not in the way that I think was intended. But I think that overall, I had fun and I wanted to finish it. And that's what I want to impart.
I love that.
So it is this billionaire forbidden love romance. It is paranormal romance. There's fake dating, which is so fun in this world. His mom's like pretty much a queen. You know, he's like a big deal. It's a very important thing. There's moments where people like sent him on her. Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't be near you. He's going to be so mad. Oh my God.
Oh,
and he's
yeah.
the grumpiest grump. He's been asleep for like decades, like so long. He wakes up at the beginning of the book because it's like his turn to be the like eligible Russo. It's his time to find a wife before the season ends. And he like actually went to sleepsies because somebody passed away that he cared about a lot, long time ago.
Got it.
But for anyone out there that Mrs. Twilight and is like, you know, I feel like I miss just getting like swept up in a vampire-y romance that like, yes, some things are cringe and like, yes, they're over the top, but like, oh, let's just dig in there. I think you would love this. It's steamy. She is a virgin. And spoiler alert, if you want to know nothing about the book, which I don't really think it's a book that you need to know nothing about, but if you want to know nothing, skip ahead 30 seconds here. She is a virgin. It's very important that she's a virgin. We talk it to death, quite literally.
Okay.
But we do all sorts of other things, and that's fun. And we all enjoy it, and it's very fun
very
and
fun.
Sexy, and there's, like, some, like, biting and some things, and, like, it's very actually impressive that it keeps interesting while very specifically not having sex.
So they never do?
In this book, no.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, this book does end on a cliffhanger, which is interesting. There are four books in this series. This is the first book. They're all four out. I don't understand still my feelings on this book. I think that there were so many aspects of it that I had so much fun, and I, like, didn't want to stop. But as I went to write my notes on it, I was like, There's just so many things that I didn't love. But overall, I had so much fun and I couldn't not finish it. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
Overall, I had so much fun. I think if you are wanting a very mindless, fun vampire romance, this would absolutely scratch that itch for you.
Okay.
Kind of Twilight-y vibes in that it's very silly and fun and plays a lot of vampire tropes, but also Crazy Rich Asians, where we're in these beautiful, fun locales.
I love
that. And he's
that.
Like taking her around the world and buying her this crazy cello that she could only dream of. And he's like, oh yeah, no. The guy who invented this certain kind of cello, he's like, oh, he'd want you to do that. And she's like, oh, sorry, did you know him? And he's like, yes, I did. Like, it's just like fun, crazy, silly things.
Sure.
I loved it. Yes, did I have complaints, but God, was it fun.
I love that.
Yes. So that is Filthy Rich Vampire by Geneva Lee. I will probably continue the series on vacay because it's like the perfect fantasy. Yeah. I actually don't have to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Like while by the pool or something. But I also just like now want to know what happens. So.
Love it.
Yes.
So really quickly, I'm going to run through two Megan Quinn books that I read, but I'm going to keep it very brief because Anna and I have done book chats on both of these over on our Patreon. So one of them is called Bridesmaid for Hire. And this was quite literally one of the funniest books I think I've ever read in my entire life. It is just as funny as Right Man, Right Time. If you have read that book, if you know, you know. This was hysterical. It was easily one of the funniest, the spiciest books. So spicy. Our classic Megan Quinn spice that we absolutely love. If you are looking for a hilarious, like laugh out loud, brother's best friend, enemies to lovers, fake dating, spicy romance set in Bora Bora, look no further.
Sign me up.
Literally. This was so good. It was everything I want in a rom-com. It was so funny. I cannot overstate that enough. I was crying laughing multiple times throughout the book. Maggie is a wedding planner, and after being super busy with life, she goes to Bora Bora to enjoy a vacation by herself. While there, she finds out a huge wedding is happening for like a very wealthy family that could help her grow her business, and she wants an inn. Then she happens to run into Brody, who is her brother's best friend, who is attending the same big wedding for his boss's daughter. Maggie ends up rescuing him by pretending that she's his girlfriend, and despite the fact that they are enemies, they end up in an agreement to fake date for the wedding week to help each other out. What could go wrong?
We love a fake date at a wedding in a tropical locale.
Right?
Oh,
oh my gosh. This was catnip for me. This had everything I want. We love the fake dating. It was classic Megan Quinn spice, classic Megan Quinn, like hilarious situations that we just laugh crying over. I love this so much. I promise you, if you like Megan Quinn or you've read any of the other books that we've recommended by her, you will absolutely love this. So that is Bridesmaid for Hire by Megan Quinn. Next up, I read So This Is War, and that is book 5 in her Vancouver Agitator series, and this is Posey's book.
Posey! It's Posey, y'all. The funniest guy in the group text.
Literally so funny. We have been waiting for Posey's book since we've met him.
Yes.
Quite literally. We have been like on pins and needles. We need Posey's book. This was every bit as hilarious as I thought it was gonna be. I did have a few small issues with some of the pacing, and I don't like the trend of like a no third act breakup or conflict because I just think for me as the reader, it lessens the tension and it makes me kind of be like, what are we doing here? If
Absolutely.
You get together at like the 60% mark and then you're like in love and then we're kind of just like, that's it for them. There's third act conflict from like outside sources,
right.
But there's no... So I know a lot of people love that though. Anna doesn't like a third act breakup, so she loved this part of it. So this is totally just a me preference. I still loved the book, but I just wish that this wasn't such a trend because I do like seeing conflict. It keeps me engaged as the reader.
I agree with that. I think like every once in a while, it's fine. But I feel like in general, every single book, knowing that like, okay, they're going to break up, there's no drama here, is hard for me. Like one of the books I'm about to talk about, I was like, oh, well, it sucks that happened to them, but I feel like there wasn't the stakes leading up to the end that I feel like I usually have, which is because of the romantic conflict.
Exactly. That's a great way of putting it. I like a romantic conflict because I think it shows that the couple can go through hard times and work things out. And I like seeing how they do that, how they communicate with each other. I feel like now the trend is to have all the conflict in the beginning of the book. And then once they get together, that's it. We're in love. We're happy. We're obsessed with each other. But for me personally, I just kind of feel like I prefer, not always, like Christina said, doesn't have to be in every book, but okay. The Spice was not my absolute favorite out of the Vancouver Agitator series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. Yeah, it just wasn't my favorite. I definitely liked Right Man, Right Time, yes, and He's Not My Type, Halsey's book.
Ooh, that was my favorite. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Filthy Mouth. I mean, my God. That man.
And he was the sweetest. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The sweetest little cinnamon roll.
So remind me, like, who is this girl? How do they get together? Like, what is their story?
Oh, I'm so sorry. That would be great to tell you about the basic plot of the book, wouldn't it? Okay, so Posey is a hockey player, and she is the coach's daughter. Her name is Wiley.
It's a coach's daughter?
Coach's daughter.
Shut up.
Forbidden romance. They meet in a bar one night and have like a little makeout session, and they're totally gonna go hook up, but she sees her dad coming and like bolts. He doesn't know her name. He doesn't have her number. He spends a year looking for her, trying to find out who she is.
Stop.
And then out of nowhere, his coach is like, hey, so I need you to hire my daughter to be your assistant because she wants to quit business school and become an artist. And I need you to like make her life a living hell and show her why that's a terrible idea.
What a fun concept. Oh my God.
I know. Posey's like, I'm like a really nice guy. That doesn't really sound like something that I really want to do. And he's like, well, you're going to do it because I've gotten you out of a lot of like mishaps with girls over the years. So like you owe me. And he was like, I do.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
Fine. So Wiley becomes Posey's assistant and she ends up moving into like this little nanny room in his beautiful apartment. And Posey is tasked with giving her these ridiculous errands, these ridiculous chores to do, like texting her at 1 a.m. to go get bagels 40 minutes away. And her dad is the one that's like forcing him to do it.
Yes.
And so there's some really fun hijinks that ensue. She finds out about this and decides to torture him with her body by being hot, like walking around with no bra on. And it is so, so funny. We have the classic group text with the frozen fellas.
Yes, the frozen fellas. Oh, God. Oh, my God. I love it.
And he brings in the wives of all of the other guys and makes a group text separately with them. And he calls them his labia ladies.
Oh, my God. I feel like that is so on brand for that character.
Yes.
He is so funny. Oh, my God.
I know. He's so funny. And I still loved it because you have all of the guys there together and you have the girls and the group texts are hysterical and the scenes were so funny. I mean, laugh out loud funny.
Oh, she does that so well. The like bromance found family.
Oh, yes. And because you have seen Posey be there so much for the guys throughout the other books, getting to see the guys really be there for Posey was so precious and sweet and just everything our little hearts wanted to see these guys just be there for each other and love each other. It was still really, really good. I liked it.
Yes.
You know, I think I had hyped Posey's book up so much because we've been waiting for it. Because I've read every single book in the series. Christina and Anna have read 3, 4, and now Posey's book.
Yeah.
And so I've been waiting for Posey's book since book one. And so to be fair, it would be challenging to like live up to that expectation.
Yeah.
But it's still really good. I think if you've read the other books, you will love it. You can't go wrong. So this is War by Megan Quinn, book 5 in her Vancouver Agitator series.
Oh my gosh.
I can't wait for you to read it, Christina.
I'm so excited to read it. I left Halsey's book being so excited about the fact that Posey was next and being so confused because we haven't seen anything from him romantically at all. And so, yeah, I was super interested to see how he would handle a romance in his book. So that's really fun.
I know. I can't wait for you to read it, Christina. You'll love it. I mean, it's Posey, so it's hilarious.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I cannot wait.
Okay, what's next?
Okay, so my last book of the evening that I'm going to discuss is called Catching Feelings by Maren Moore. If this sounds familiar to you, this is the sequel to Home Run Proposal by Maren Moore.
Oh my God!
That you and I read together.
Oh, did we ever? Oh my God, Christina! Yes. Tell me all about it.
Okay, so this is also a baseball romance. So this follows Reese Landry. He is the Orleans University Arrogant All-Star catcher. And we also then...
Oh my God, I'm dying.
It's...
I cannot believe you read this. This is
hysterical. I'm so excited that I got to reveal this to you. This is my reveal to you.
And I love it.
We also follow Vivian, who is the BFF of Hallie from the first book. She does the podcast with her. She is like her bestie, which is really, really fun that we get to see Hallie and Lane through this lens, which is really fun because it doesn't feel forced because Hallie is Vivian's best friend.
Right.
And it's really, really, really fun. Okay. Pretty much. All right. The way this is set up is like, oh my God, I can't wait to talk about this. All right.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
So this is the synopsis. I'm just going to read you this. All right.
Okay.
So I accidentally hook up with the guy I despise. A mistake I'd love to forget, except now he's my new roommate. Reese Landry is Orleans University's arrogant all-star catcher, and I'm the one girl he can't seem to catch. If anything, it only makes him want me more. He's disgustingly rich, stupid, charming, and everyone loves him except me. But then life throws me the ultimate curveball and he's my new temporary roommate. I thought it was going to be easy keeping him at a distance. Turns out I was wrong. He's nothing like the cocky rich playboy I thought he was. I told myself one time wouldn't hurt. We promised to keep things casual, no strings attached, but soon lines blur and he somehow becomes my only safe space to land. Okay. Wow, wow, wow. Here we go. So pretty much, we have a hint to this a little bit in book one, where Reese kind of says something a little bit like this time they hooked up or something, and Vivian shuts him down. It's like a very kind of awkward, like, no, like, shuts him down. So the way this book opens, Kimberlyn and Dyer is straight sexy time. So the beginning of this book, the first 33 pages, to be specific, it says then. It's like flashback to their hookup.
Oh, to their hookup.
But I'm going to tell you what. It is
tell me.
Bold to start the book this way because it feels like the climactic hot sexy scene that we get 23% in. And it is the first page. It is like, oh my God. Okay, Maren. Wow.
Maren, we see you. Wow.
We're in it. And like, it's so good. So pretty much they're at this bar. They kind of almost kiss. And then Grant, with her friends, comes up and interrupts them. And he's like, oh my God, I'm gonna kill you. And she's like, oh, I don't know what I was thinking. And he chases her out. And then she's like, I was caught up in the moment. I would have kissed any guy in there, Reese. And he says, yeah, okay, Viv. And I would have broken his fucking nose. So by all means, go back in there and find someone else to kiss. Try me. And then she's like, fine, father. And he goes, I prefer daddy, but whatever works for you, babe. This is page eight.
Page eight, people. Page eight.
So then, I'm not kidding. It starts off with a bang.
Oh my God, I love it.
They get in an Uber and she just goes, fuck it. And like climbs on top of him. And they like start hooking up and he just goes, see how much fun it is to hate each other. And it's like, oh, push your papa. Okay. And then, so then they like get to her apartment and he just goes, what's it going to be, Viv? Sorry, this is a little dirty. Okay, a little naughty. Okay, he goes, what's it gonna be, Viv? Are you gonna waste more time pretending you don't want this? Or are you gonna let me fuck the shit out of you? Yup. This is how the book starts, okay? And then it's sexy times until page 30. It's a 33-page hot sex scene. And then it jumps to now. And, like, that was their hookup that they both act like doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But we open with it instead of flashing to it throughout the story or instead of kind of, you know, waiting to flash to it with the middle. We open with it, which I thought was so interesting. It really set the tone.
Yeah.
And it also then throughout, she goes to a party at his house and she loses her money for housing and he walks in and he's like, what was that about? What's going on? And she's like, oh my God, stop. Just like, you're so annoying. Stop. Just leave me alone. But like, if you hadn't had that context, I feel like it would have been, you know, it's just so much deeper having this sexy, sexy context. Wow.
Oh my
God. That sexiness is really prevalent throughout. It is sexy times throughout this book. I don't remember Home Run Proposal being this sexy, but maybe it's because it didn't start out this way. We had to build to it. But like, wowee, is it hot, y'all.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
So pretty much he's this rich playboy and her mom, her dad has passed away. I skimmed a lot of her family dynamics for emotional reasons, but her dad's passed away. Her mom like is just really struggling and like keeps losing all her jobs. So pretty much then Vivian has to use her savings to help her mom not get evicted instead of paying for her dorm.
Oh no.
And so he like sweeps in and is like, stay with me. And she's like, no, I hate you.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, but actually though, come on. And it's so good. And it's this thing where he just loves her so deeply. Stop. And he is so patient. He just wants to take care of her and give her these gifts and like sweep her off her feet. And the way he like loves her so much. And I think that the author does a great job of, she does like try to push him away at times, and all those dynamics are there for some conflict. But we also see so much of her home life and her family dynamic that it makes sense. Like, it tracks.
Yeah.
But the way he just fights for her, and he's just like, no, I'm not gonna let you push me. Oh God, it's so good.
Oh my and God, it's so good. And he just like gives
her these gifts and sweeps her off her feet, and he's just so in love with her. And she tells him these things, and he is just so there for her. And the guys in this are so fun. There's a group text that really reminds me of the Agitators.
You know, we love where
like
he's
asking their advice and things. And something that I really think that you would especially appreciate is that the name of their group text is like the Swifty Boys. And there's a whole thing where they're talking in the workout room, and I just had to pull up the scene to read to you.
Oh, please.
He's like, sometimes I wonder why I'm friends with the two of you. And then he says, because we're your best friends and you love our bromance, duh. And then you're shaking your head. Plus, who else would you listen to Taylor Swift in the car with? It's weird if you do it alone. And then he replies, you listen to Taylor Swift while you work out. And then he says, yeah, but it's only weird when you do it. I'm comfortable with my masculinity. Plus, you know that I did something bad gets me in the zone. It's my best pump up.
Sold. I am reading this book tonight. Like, say less. I am reading this book tonight. That is incredible.
These are the details I need to pull out for Kim.
That's absolutely all I needed to hear. You could have just read that and I would have been like, well, I'm reading this book. Thank you. Next.
I just love their dynamic. I love the steaminess, the sweetness. It just worked on so many levels. The only thing at all that didn't work for me, and I guess this was a thing in Home Run Proposal that I also just ignored. But I actively ignored the fact that she's a freshman because, and not to say that at 18 or 19 you shouldn't be like in touch with your sexuality, or you shouldn't be drinking, or you shouldn't be having these experiences, but it was so much more fun for me to picture her at his age because he's a senior. So I just imagined her as a senior, and I'm gonna be honest, there was never a point really in the book that it was a problem for me to imagine that she was a senior. Okay. If that at all is like annoying to you, I would advise not skipping it and just imagining that they're the same age.
Perfect. Yeah, we can do that. We do that all the time.
You know, she's 22. It's fine.
She is. Okay. Oh my God. This is amazing. Okay. So I feel like we liked Home Run Proposal, but we didn't love the plot. It was kind of a little bit kind of like, like we're not really here for the plot. Did you feel like that? Or did you feel like you liked the plot in this one more?
Oh no, I felt like I wasn't really here. Okay, the plot. I do think it was more emotionally complex, this book, than the first one. She very much has to take care of everyone and pick up the pieces while still, like, grieving her dad. And there's a lot of, like, pieces there that I thought were well done without it feeling too much that I was like, I'm gonna stop reading because it's too emotional for me. But right. I think that being said, I was there for the sexy times and the sweet times.
Sure.
And those delivered.
And those did what they needed to do, and that's what matters.
Exactly.
Okay, I love that.
So that is Catching Feelings by Maren Moore, number 2 in the Orleans University series.
Oh my gosh, Christina, I love that so much. That is so fun. I'm literally gonna go start this book tonight because you sold me with the Taylor Swift line.
Taylor Swift and sexy first 33 pages. I mean, come on.
Check and check. Okay. Okay, so I'm gonna wrap us up tonight with a really fun series that is by Stephanie Archer, who wrote Behind the Net and The Fake Out, which are two hockey romances that Christina actually found behind the net, read it, and was like, I love it, you guys need to read it. Anna and I read it. We loved it. And we read book two. You read book two?
We all read book two, but you talked about it in a KU Rec.
Got it. Okay. So I heard that she had a small town romance series and that it kind of had like Stars Hollow, Gilmore Girls vibes. And I was like,
shut up.
Well, say less. So I'm going to go check that out. And it's all on KU. So it is called The Queen's Cove series by Stephanie Archer. So this series follows the Rhodes brothers, R-H-O-D-E-S. They are all spicy, small town rom-coms. Okay, so here is my only kind of qualm, is that I really liked book 3 and 4 a lot more than I liked book 1 and 2. And book 4 was my favorite, but I think that's because I had read all of the other books.
The culmination, got it.
The culmination, the couple in book 4 gets mentioned in every other book. And so by book 4, I was like, itching, like jonesing, like give me this couple, I want to see what happens with them.
Yes.
And so I do think that kind of played into why I enjoyed book 4 so much. usually we come on here and we're like, you don't need to read them in order. Like, you don't need to read all of them. You can just pick one. And that is still true. They definitely are still technically standalones. The other couples are in the books, but no one's getting spoiled. These are romances. They're ending up together.
If we're introduced as the lead couple, we're gonna be the lead couple. Yeah,
absolutely. But my only qualm is, like, I do think that I loved book four so much because I read the other three.
Yes.
So I can't sit here and be like, oh, you don't need to read it. Like, you know, do whatever you want to do, obviously. But I liked book one. I thought book two was, like, okay. Really liked book four a lot. It gave me very Adam vibes from Unravel Me by Becca Mack. Very
less.
Quiet. Yes. And it's always the quiet ones, ladies. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you what. Mm-hmm. And then book four, I loved. Book four was kind of like a How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days vibe.
Stop. So fun.
Yeah, but he's a sexy fireman.
Oh, I love a fireman.
Yes, exactly. I'm gonna rapid fire go through the books.
Perfect.
Book one follows Emmett and is an enemies to lovers fake dating situation. Liked it, thought it was good, you know,
solid.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Book two follows Wyatt and is sort of a retelling of She's All That, where this, like, really shy, quiet nerd wants to be a hot girl, and he calls her bookworm, like, probably 50 million times. It was fine. I think it's skippable. I think you could do books one, three, and four if that's more palatable for everybody.
Love it.
I just feel bad recommending, like, no, you need to read all four books. And it's like, okay, well, I don't know if I want to sign up for that, but thanks, Kim. But the premise sounds good, but it was just, the writing was a little bit repetitive. Whatever. Okay, so book three follows Holden. This is a grumpy sunshine friends with benefits situation. And here's, like, a very quick premise. The deal is simple. He'll wipe out my debt if I find him a wife. Holden Rhodes is grouchy, unfairly hot, and has hated me for years. Now we own an inn together. As we renovate the inn and practice his dating skills, I see a different side of him, though, and wonder if I was all wrong. When we add friends with benefits to the deal, our chemistry is so hot, the sparks could burn down the inn. Holden's a secret romantic and I'm secretly falling for him. I'm terrible at bartending. A video of a bear stealing my sex toy went viral and everyone in this small town knows my business. But Holden Rhodes is so much more than I expected and now I'm not sure I want to leave.
You had me at we own an inn and I'm giving him dating tips.
Uh-huh.
What a combo.
Oh, them owning the inn together again gave me very, like, Stars Hollow vibes.
Yes.
He is so grumpy, but, like, he desperately wants a wife. He desperately wants to get married and have a family. And it's like, he's grumpy, soft-spoken, but, like, secretly a huge romantic who just, like, wants to have be loved and have a family.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the quiet ones and the spice, you guys. Wow. Okay. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes!
Spice was spicing.
Oh,
I was very into it. Very into it. If you like praise, get yourself to this series immediately.
Done.
All
done
I'm gonna say.
And done.
It is so good. I do think you could start with this one if you wanted to just pick a couple. I loved Holden. He, again, gave me very Adam vibes. And we're just suckers for, like, he's grouchy, but, like, he's very, like, in the bedroom. He knows what's going on.
Yes, exactly. What a trope I didn't know existed that I'm obsessed with.
Right?
Yeah.
Someone was like, I did not know I needed this. And now it's, like, everything I've ever wanted. And I'm like, same.
Truly.
Same girl.
Truly.
Okay, so the last book follows Finn and Olivia. They have been brought up in every single book before this. They were childhood best friends turned lovers right after high school.
Okay.
They have one night together, but then they had a huge falling out 12 years ago.
Oh my God.
And now Finn won't even come into town if Olivia is there. And Olivia is running the local bar for her parents while they travel for a year and she's working on her PhD. Finn is determined to get her back and she decides to pretend to, like, go along with it, but drive him away by being absolutely insane. So it's like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days meets, like, Second Chance Romance and no third act breakup, and he's a hot fireman with a praise kink.
Sign me up, Stay Less.
Say
wow.
Less. Wow. I loved book four. It was so, so good. It was incredible.
This sounds truly like everything we want in a romance.
It is literally everything you want. It is so good. And of course you have, like, the brothers and their family kind of coming in.
Yes.
And they have family dinners and it's very sweet. So you still get to see the other characters from the books.
And if you hadn't read the other books, would that be as fun? Maybe not. Yes.
I don't think so, because you get to see them, like, progress in their relationships and maybe start families. And that's kind of why I say I think it's best to read them. But I think you could skip book two if you wanted to. Three and four you absolutely cannot skip. You must read. Okay, so good. I just, y'all, it's everything we love. It's small town, it's all the tropes, like, that we just eat up with a spoon. Fake dating, I mean, just everything. It's so fun, especially if you've read Stephanie Archer's sports romances and you liked those. I think you would absolutely love this. I loved it. I think you guys would love it. Christina, you have to read these books. So good.
Done and done.
So that was the Queen's Cove series by Stephanie Archer. Love. Love, love, love.
Wow, we really ran the gambit tonight.
We did.
Oh my gosh. We went from suspense to vampires to firemen.
Boxers.
You know, all over the place.
I know. We've got a little bit of everything
hockey?
Tonight.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so hockey funny. In the loosest term.
Hockey. Cool, air quotes.
Air quotes.
These episodes are some of my favorites, and I just love, love, love that we get to share these books with you, and that these were like our fun little summer break books that we loved that we hope you love too.
Yeah. Oh, so well put, Christina. Okay, so that's going to wrap us up for tonight. We will be back with more KUREX because we just can't stay away. Again, if you want to see book chats for a couple of these books that I talked about, they are over on our Patreon. That link will be in the show notes. And be sure you are following us on Instagram and TikTok at Flights Fantasy Podcast, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Cheers. Happy reading.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.